Welcome back, Weekend Warriors. Thanks so much for all your kind words. The number is 877-710-ESPN. Before I tell some stories, let's hear from some of the Weekend Warrior Nation. Let's go to Marty in Sacramento. You're on with Dr. Clapper.
Dr. Clapper, how you doing?
I'm good. I hope it's not the last one, but if it is, it sure has been great.
Well, I started listening to you in summer of 2011 when you were on with the coach.
Mm-hmm.
And to the best of my knowledge, I don't think I've ever missed an episode since, especially after you got the podcast going.
Wow. Thank you.
So you always ask people, what's your favorite story?
That's right.
My favorite story is when you took the chemistry class at Columbia. You sat in the class for the whole year without being registered.
Oh, wow.
And then you bought the you got the textbook from the smartest guy in the class,
right,
with all the underlining and all the notes, and then you aced the class.
That's exactly right. Johnny Aronoff, that was his name. And, you know, he recently passed away. He's my age, Johnny Aronoff.
Wow.
And I got to say thank you to him all those years later. And he was like, aw shucks about it. That's no big deal. But what a genius that guy was.
Well, so, I got to tell you, you know, I wrote you a letter about why you should take me to the Laker game. I'm up here in Sacramento, and like I say, it's not the Laker game. I'm a huge Laker fan, but the most important thing was being able to spend some time with you, man.
Oh,
it was just so awesome.
Thank you.
But
thank you, Marty. Listen, I do it to be able to meet people like you, even if it's through the radio beams themselves. I watched my father go to work every day listening to the traffic reports, and it meant so much to him to listen to Gene Shepard on the radio. And I think that to some extent, me, an orthopedic surgeon, being on the radio is a homage to my dad and all those years that he listened to the radio. So,
well, and I remember you telling stories about when you'd be driving with your dad. He would
right.
do everything he could to slow down so he wouldn't have to stop for a red light.
Man, you remember everything,
fan.
Marty.
I'm a fan, dude. I'm a fan. I tell you, my friends up here in Sacramento, every time anybody gets any kind of an ailment or an injury, they say, well, Dr. Clapper would say.
Listen, man, I've never met you, but I love you with all my heart, and thanks so much for calling in, and I look forward to meeting you one day.
I told Steve, I said, I hope I can get through this call without getting emotional.
All right, young man. Well,
I love you, man.
Me too. Me too. The feeling's mutual. God bless you.
I hope somehow, some way we find out what you're going to do next, because I'll be calling the station. I'll be right in the station. This can't happen.
All right, young man. We're going to grow old gracefully together, Marty.
I love you, man.
Okay, me too. Me too. All right, Warriors. Let's tell some stories. The number is 877-710-ESPN. When I knew my guest this Saturday, 7:15, she was on, terrific, Jory Finkel, was going to talk about artists inspired by other artists. This great book that she wrote, it speaks to me. It made me think of my passions in sports, in surgery, and in art. Where do you see inspiration where one artist inspires another, one athlete inspires another, one surgeon inspires another? All of us get inspiration from someplace. My favorite TV show growing up was Get Smart. Get Smart was the brainchild of Mel Brooks and Buck Henry, who recognized that the biggest thing in America at the time, in the world, were two movies, James Bond and the Pink Panther. This was the music. When you hear that music, Daniel Craig is great, but trust me, I'm an 8-year-old kid, and it's Dr. No time. Something great's going to happen. I didn't even know who Ursula Andress was, but I fell in love with that woman on the screen. So here's the music for Get Smart, inspired by James Bond. It's a beautiful thing when an artist is inspired by another artist. Even the music sounds the same. The creator of Get Smart, Maxwell Smart, Don Adams, and loving it, was Buck Henry.
It came along at a time when the relationship between the general population and the government was getting edgy. And we sort of had a voice in that my kidding our kidding around with the FBI and the CIA, which had been kind of sacrosanct in terms of making fun of them. And I've heard in subsequent years that guys in the FBI really like the show, which also makes me happy. And that they have, wherever the FBI has its museum, they have a shoe phone and they have a cone of silence. I hope that's true. I don't know if it is.
Here's a classic scene of where the inspiration came from. Spies, Russia, America, the whole bit. It's like what we're going through now. But this is 1960, early 60s. My favorite actress of all time was Barbara Feldon. She's 86 years old now. She's still as beautiful as she was when she was 20. But here's a scene with Don Adams, Maxwell Smart, Kosovich from Chaos.
All right, Smart, I'll make it easy on you. Where do you want it?
Where?
That's right. I'll give it to you any way you want.
How about Philadelphia?
Goodbye, Mr. Smart.
Wait! Before you shoot us, I'd like to ask for something.
What is it?
A goodbye kiss.
99, you hardly know him.
That's you.
Oh.
Wait a minute. That's not a bad idea.
What?
An attractive man like Kosovich, a man of action, daring, strength. I think I'd like to have him kiss me goodbye.
99, how can you talk like that? The man is a vicious, rotten, chaos killer.
Everyone has their little faults, Max.
Is this some sort of a trick?
Would I trick you at a time like this? I can't resist you.
99, control yourself.
Those piercing black eyes. That cruel mouth. Kiss me, Kosovich.
Kiss me, Kosovich. Here's Barbara Feldon talking about inspiring artists inspiring other artists.
I think the way the show reflected the 60s was its concern with the CIA, you know, and the things that were coming out about their shenanigans in South America or around the world. And we were, I think, as a culture, first becoming aware that there was another government happening, you know, there was a whole other system at work under the radar. And so you could fantasize about it, and you could satirize it, and imagine what that would be, and so forth. Probably today it would not be funny, you know. What we've learned over time, not necessarily the CIA, but the covert things that go on and are going on at this moment. That it, to make a, I mean, I just saw Rendition, and that's serious, you know. You can't be funny about it. But in the 60s, I think it was still coming off of the aura of the James Bond movies and the excitement.
Exactly right.
And it feeds into our desire to do something that isn't within the framework of what's legal or... I mean, don't you think we all have that? So the spy is just, he's his own government.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that you could look at that issue in a lighthearted way, you know, I think still there was a possibility of doing it, although certainly I know that Buck Henry, being the brilliant man he is, was looking at the hard, you know, really trying to penetrate.
The artist, the surfer. The surgeon, whatever you do for a living, it comes from being aware what's around you, but being inspired by someone before you.
Being an artist, you know, Buck and Mel being artists, artists always have an antenna that perceives something beyond what we're just reading in the newspapers. And so surely they were tuned into something, there's no question, because the series came out of its time.
Being inspired. The greatest surfer of all time, 11 world champions, the great Kelly Slater. He's inspired by a surfer from the 80s named Tom Curran. And in 1990, in sports, the inspired one is competing against the guy that inspired him. Oh my God, it's like Kobe playing against Michael Jordan. This is 1990 in France, Lacanau. Tom Curran surfing against Kelly Slater, narrated by the great Jerry Lopez.
Because the Quicksilver Lacanau Pro was the Pro Tour debut for a highly touted newcomer by the name of Kelly Slater, a surfer who had already earned the attention and praise of the world's best, who were eagerly anticipating his arrival. Slater's high wire act was already being dubbed the future, and Americans viewed him as their post-Curran clan. In semifinal two, Curran and Slater met for the first time on the world stage, an event not lost on surf historians or Slater himself.
It's like the days I cherish going back to the operating room and scrubbing on a knee replacement with Dr. Ranawat. Tom Curran, Kelly Slater, together in the same meet.
Here was the guy that was probably going to replace Curran. And Slater would be the first to tell you, Curran was his hero.
Yeah, it is a little intimidating because he is my favorite surfer. I think he's the best in the world.
Kelly was really, the focus on that event.
I've surfed against Tom before when I was about 14 or so, and he kicked my butt.
He kicked my butt.
And those are strange heats to be in, because here you have the guy that you've kind of modeled yourself after, only little did anybody know at that point in time that Slater would go on to be greater than Tom Curran.
It's true. That's PT talking about him.
The semifinal clash was a stellar showdown between two surfing eras. Slater was captivating and flashy, while Curran was smooth and polished.
I had to kind of surf a lot of waves, basically, to make sure I had a decent score and to prevent him from getting anything, because he was looking like he could definitely win the event. I may have overdid it a little bit.
But you ain't beating Michael Jordan.
In the end, Curran's momentum was too much for the young rookie.
I don't think Slater really stood a chance, in my opinion, to beat Curran in that heat.
Mm-hmm.
I think experience had just about everything to do with why I won that heat.
He knew what he had to do in a heat to win, and he knew what the judges wanted to see.
The new school was not going to be enough.
Slater threw in a few of his new school tricks, but I don't know if the judges wanted to see that. And so Curran did his textbook Curran and won the heat.
But the Lackinac Pro is a truly defining moment for the sport, an indication of what is to come as Kelly Slater and Tom Curran share the podium on the beaches of France.
Wow.
Curran went on to beat Richie Collins in the final and record his fourth Grand Prix victory of the year. Having surfed through the trials, he won 9 consecutive heats to take the Quicksilver Lackinac Pro.
And by that time, I had a pretty good shot at a title race.
Here was Curran coming out of the gate and pretty much creating a lead on the tour for that year that just had everybody wondering, well, what are we going to do?
Right.
I'm very, very, very happy to get to the finals. I had a hard heat this morning, and I was really concentrating on the heat that I was going to have with Kelly, and I wanted to surf against him real bad.
Days later, with his current experience in France behind him and back at Trestles, Slater would get his first pro win at the Body Glove Surf Spot. Some saw it as fitting that his first pro win came at the same place Curran's did.
And here's Kelly Slater with Graham Bensinger talking about, as a grown man, what it's like to be an artist, a surfer. Being inspired is one thing. Talent is another thing. Here's Kelly Slater.
I think talent comes from, it's sort of a recipe. It's like a concoction of things. Sometimes people just have good timing. Sometimes people have a natural talent. Sometimes they get lucky. There's all these sort of things that can happen. I think a bunch of those parts of the formula were given to me in my life. I think I was naturally talented. I think I was gifted with understanding the ocean, and it comes natural to me. My dad was a real water person, and just growing up at the beach, watching waves, watching guys surf, all that kind of stuff, that became real natural to me, to understand how to maneuver on a wave and fit myself into that as if I was a natural part of that energy, a natural part of the motion that's happening in the ocean. So even now, I always feel like there's a perfect way to be in sync with what's happening in the ocean. People look at the ocean that don't know anything about it, and they're like, that's crazy looking. But once you put yourself in this situation, you realize there's a flow to everything.
There's a flow to everything, Kelly Slater, and you're right. You don't need the ocean. It's called life. Can you match up with that flow? Who inspires you? I hope after 8.5 years, I've inspired a few of you. And if you want to talk to me about it, you can call in. The number is 877-710-ESPN. And we'll get into some of the callers. I appreciate all of you. We'll talk about what the Weekend Warrior meant as an inspirational show. Hopefully it's not over, but it may be. We'll get into it. The number is 877-710-ESPN on ESPN LA 710. Welcome back, Weekend Warriors. It's been an endless summer, 8.5 years. I hope it's not the last show, but if it is, thanks so much for listening all these years, telling your friends. Let's go to Roich in Irvine. You're on with Dr. Clapper. Thanks for listening.
Hey, good morning, Dr. Clapper. I love that song from The Endless Summer. It just puts you in a good mood. And
exactly.
If it is, you know, if it is the last show, thank you. You've made a lot of friends over the last 8.5 years. And I've been there like many from the beginning with you and the coach and all your stories and stuff. So thank you. Thank you very much.
I really appreciate it. I get up early to be able to meet people like you, which is kind of cool. You know, the Bible says the greatest gift that you can ever give is when you give anonymously. So it is really kind of special for me to know that there's so many people out there who listen that I'm never going to meet face to face, that I'm going to help, and I'm never going to see them or touch them. But I see you in my office. But to be able to do it over the radio in this anonymous ether vapor is the coolest thing in the world. So I hope I get to meet you one day. But the fact that you're on the radio right now with me is very special. So thank you.
Can I have a little clapper vision?
Sure.
All right. Two quick questions. So I know you're not a big fan of cortisone.
No.
You drilled it into all of us. But I remember one time you said that it might be okay. Is it for plantar fasciitis?
Never. Okay? This is my feeling about cortisone. Have I ever given someone a cortisone? Yes. I'm an orthopedic surgeon. That's what I can do. Dr. Clapper, my daughter's getting married. My knee's killing me. I want to walk her down the aisle. It's an event. Yes, I'll give you a shot. Dr. Clapper, I saved up all my money, and I'm going to Italy for the first time, and I'm going to see the David. You talk about the David all the time and Michelangelo and how much he means to you, but my hip is killing me. Can you give me a shot? Yes, to get through an event, but to do it as treatment, forget about it. Get out of here. That's what I say.
Okay. And then my other item, which is for me, is I love playing tennis and surfing as well, but 2 months ago, I was playing tennis and I felt a little, like someone kicked me in the calf.
Yep, you tore the medial head of your gastroc. You are a lucky man, Rich in Irvine, because your body had a choice. It could have torn your Achilles tendon, which is a disaster for you. But it tore the medial head of your gastroc. So you're going to wear some Spanx or pantyhose to help squeeze the muscle. You'll use some ice, a lot of vitamin C in your diet, fresh oranges, grapefruits, kiwis, tomatoes, strawberries, number one source, red bell peppers. It takes about 6 weeks. Once it heals, you'll start doing more stretching exercises, and you'll continue to be a tennis player till the last days on earth.
Thank you. Now, after I did that icing and all that stuff, the pain went away in the calf immediately, like a day or two, but it went down to my Achilles.
Correct, because it's all attached. You're lucky. You have a body that whispers to you. It has a clapper vision for you. Many patients, okay, who just tore his Achilles, Kevin Durant or Kobe Bryant, their bodies shouted at them. They didn't get the whisper. You're getting whispered. Hey, Rich in Irvine, I'm about to tear a very big muscle, but I'm going to tear a little muscle first. This is your body whispering to you, all right? I don't even know how to whisper. That's how loud I am. But it's whispering to you. You better pay attention, because you don't want to be the guy that it shouts at, because when it does, forget about the tennis for a long period of time if you're going to wait that long. So you got to do more stretching exercises. Go meet with a physical therapist. Learn the right exercises to do. That's what you're going to need to do in your life, okay?
So I've been going to therapy for 2 months and stretching and exercising. What's the timetable, you think?
Everyone's different. How old are you?
55.
Yeah, you're an out the cocker. You're 55, you ain't 25. If you were 25, you'd be playing already. It's going to take time, but be patient. Rome wasn't built in a day. The Italians, when I sculpt, they have the greatest word for life, which means slowly. They say piano, piano. That's what you have to do. Piano, piano. Slowly, slowly, you'll get better. And we'll be thinking about that when we listen to Volare at the end of the show. Thanks so much for listening, Rich.
Thank you, Doctor. Aloha. Thank
Aloha.
You.
Mahalo. All right, let's go to Sherry in Tarzana. You're on with Dr. Clapper. How can I help?
Good morning, and thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure, Sherry. What do you do for a living?
I'm between jobs right now.
What do you do for a living? What do you do before this one?
I'm in finance, and I analyze businesses to make them succeed in whatever they do.
Where'd you go to college?
Miami University of Ohio.
What did you study?
Finance.
Did you play sports?
No, but I'm always been active in exercise.
What did your father do for a living?
He's an engineer.
What kind?
A metallurgical engineer, which doesn't exist much anymore.
Was he a very loving kind of squeeze, hug you, kiss you, talk to you, or a quiet guy?
A quiet guy.
Wow. And your mom, was she the talker in the family?
More so, yeah. We're Italian, and she was the one that...
What's the greatest meal that your mother made? What was her specialty?
Probably manicotti.
With ricotta cheese. My mouth is watering already just listening to this. Where you take those giant tubes and you put the cheese in, and then you put marinara sauce and you put cheese on top and you melt it in the oven. Oh, my God.
Everything homemade.
Oh, and you dip the bread and the butter right in the sauce. I mean, God, is that good. You're killing me. Are you a good cook?
Not as much as she did, but I know a lot about Italian food, so I do my best.
So I went to New Mexico with my wife. It was a great trip. The art is incredible there. And in New Mexico, there's an area that grows a certain kind of chili called a green hatch chili, H-A-T-C-H. And it only grows in this spot in New Mexico. Trader Joe's, which I'm not working for, but Trader Joe's sells Hatch Valley salsa with tomatillos in it. She bought a jar of this stuff. And I, on my eggs in the morning, poured this stuff hot as hell. Oh, my God, but flavorful. These Hatch Valley salsa on my eggs. And then I put raspberry jam from that French bon maman or whatever it's called, the raspberry jelly. Let me tell you something. It's like eating your mother's manicotti at home. It goes beyond just eating food. It just explodes in your head to have something so flavorful and so delicious. All right, how can I help you? What you do to yourself?
I just decided to go get a bone density test because I was 53.
Yes.
And my grandmother was a hunchback in her late age.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought I'd been eating correctly. I knew what Italians were eating. I exercised since the age of 4.
Mm-hmm.
They come back and say, you should take a calcium supplement, which I've been doing all this time. So I'm confused as to, if you're telling me something I've already been doing for 28 years, what should I really be doing?
Okay, you're going to get my opinion. I'm sure I'll get arrested because it's different from everybody else's opinion. So that's all this is my opinion as an orthopedic surgeon for 30 years at Cedars, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Bone is made of calcium. It's the main mineral. After menopause, the hormones in a woman, men don't have those same hormones. We have testosterone. Those hormones talk to the bone for whatever reason and decide to turn on the switches to resorb the mineral, the calcium, so the bones get less dense, and that's why women break their hips and all the rest of it. That's called osteopenia, but it's really osteoporosis because the mineral is leaving the bone, okay?
Okay.
Do you think life is that simple that you can now go to the grocery store and buy a calcium pill, eat it, and it's going to go into the bone? Are you kidding me? It goes wherever it wants to go. So, Sherry in Tarzana, who's 55, The number one killer of human beings is heart disease, right? Hardening of the arteries. It's called atherosclerosis, better known as plaque, right? Where the pipes, like the rust inside the pipes in your sink, the galvanized pipe, the rust inside your vessels that go to your heart, they get rusty, okay? That's the plaque, and that's what causes a heart attack. Guess what the plaque is? Guess what the rust is made of that's in your blood vessels? Calcium. So here you are telling all these women, take calcium pills, as if the pill is going to go into the bone where you want it to go. No, it's going to go wherever it wants to go. So it's to me, and again, this is just my opinion, be careful, because when it sounds too good to be true, it is. Your body is way more complicated. You're right. When you load your bone, it talks to your bone to keep the mineral. That's a better way to fight the hormones. That's why I love Tai Chi. Because you don't ruin your joints while you load the bones. And you ride a bike. You do all of these things to fight the good fight. And now the drug company comes along and says, here's this pill. Here's this shot. Here's this thing. We're going to make your bone more dense. Right? They have all kinds of drugs. Fosamax, Boniva, all these things. Right? Mm-hmm. Yes, you make the bone more dense. I get it. But guess what we now know? Look under the microscope at the kind of bone you're making. It is more dense. But it doesn't have the blood vessels in the bone like it's supposed to. It's more dense, but it's not a normal type of bone that you would think. So it's not such a quick fix. That's why I love being holistic. You have DNA. You have genetics. You have to fight. Those Italian grandparents of yours, yeah, you got to fight. But trust me, it's not as simple as take this pill and it's going to go in the bone, or take this shot and we're going to make your bone dense. You have to absolutely do it with a balanced diet and maintain loading of the bone as the best way. Take up dance classes, Israeli dancing, line dancing, Tai Chi, ride the bike. These are great things for you to do to talk to your bone, to have it keep the density in the bone. Does that help?
That helps terrifically.
All right, I want you to do me a favor. I just helped you. You're a total stranger. I want you to find a total stranger today, Sherry. Do something nice for them. That's how you'll be thanking me.
Great. Thank you so much for everything.
All right. God bless you, Sherry. We'll take a break, pay some bills. We'll come back, potentially the last Weekend Warrior show. I'm fighting the good fight, ladies and gentlemen. Let's hope it's not, but it may be. And it's been just such a joyride these 8.5 years. You're all a blessing to me. Coming up next, we'll get into more of your calls. I'll keep the clinic open. We'll do lots of clap revision. The number is 877-710-ESPN. This band who's just at the troubadour, Ayaterra. This tiny little band, Nicholas Laporcio, Nathan, just fantastic. Welcome back to the Weekend Warrior Show. Maybe the last show after 8.5 years. And you know who's been right by my side from the beginning? Steve Paulette. He's behind the scenes. I'm the puppet. He's the puppeteer. But I think it'd be nice to have a few minutes to hear from the silent one, Steve Paulette. Steve, you've been in the radio business a long time. What is it about the Weekend Warrior show?
Well, if we have to talk about the Weekend Warrior show, I'm going to switch tunes and go back to Endless Summer.
That's right.
That's kind of the theme. You were always surfing through this show, and I always seemed to be in the water trying to catch up with you. And I also think it was the guest also. I remember the guest, the crazy guest.
Yeah.
Tony Danza calling every 5 seconds, promoting something.
Right.
William Shatner. We setting up Charles Connors. Bongos all over the place in the studio.
Otis Williams from the Temptations.
Fred Dreyer a couple of weeks
Fred
ago.
Fred Dreyer, Jeff Garlin, Dick Butkus.
Dick Butkus, I wrote
Isaiah
him down
Thomas.
Too.
A lot of people. But mostly the Weekend Warriors. The celebrities are great, but everybody's a celebrity. And some of them don't even know that they are. What do you do for a living? Oh, Dr. Clapper, I'm a truck driver. Wow. What kind of truck do you drive? What do you deliver? What's in the back? Have you seen women put makeup on in the cars next to you? You're driving. You can't imagine what I see out of these windows.
And they were probably the best guest of the show.
People. I just fascinated by the journey through life. Even if the person I'm talking to doesn't even see how fascinating their life is. I think it's fascinating because you're only here for a few minutes. What are you going to do while you're here? But I got to tell you, Steve Paulette, from the bottom of my heart, again, I hope it's not the last show, but if it is, God put you here for a reason, and to be by my side for this journey, this surf, this show, it would not be the same without you. So thank you.
You're welcome.
For making me laugh at my own voice. That's kind of crazy. I think they put you in psychiatric hospitals for that.
I'm ready to go in.
That's the great Steve Paulette. Just a wonderful human being. And we all benefited from being with him. All right, let's go to Joe in Castaic. You're on with Dr. Clapper. How can I help?
Hey, good morning, Dr. Clapper. How are you?
Good. Thanks for calling in.
Good. I really wanted to call in when I heard the news. I've been with you since day one. I've called in. This is my third time.
Thank you.
And I, even though I have something that requires Clapper vision, I just wanted to share a story or two, if you don't mind.
No problem.
I mean, Steve just stole my thunder. I think what I appreciate most about your show is how you have folks call in, celebrities who call in with problems just like you or I may have, and how you dispense your Clapper vision. That was great. I also loved how the interplay between you and the coach, and how you talked about food, because we're all foodies at heart.
Right.
But I think what really I want the people at ESPN to know, that if they take this show off the air, they're going to miss the warriors like myself who go out into the world. And you could tell how the impact that you had on other people, because I go out and every time I get a chance, when I hear someone talk about, oh, I have a bum knee or this or that, I tell them about your show. I had a friend, my best friend, he lived in London, and he had a hip problem.
Mm-hmm.
He went out and bought your book.
Wow.
Last week, I catch a train into downtown from Santa Clarita every day, and last week, an elderly woman, she was talking about how she had gone out and she had a knee problem, and they took out some meniscus, and she was still having the problem. And I was saying how you were saying over 50, you need to treat it differently. So we're always speaking up your show, and if they take this show off the air, they're going to miss that. I just really hope they don't put on one of these sports betting shows or one of these other sports infomercials to take up the time when you're dispensing stuff that we really, really need. Go ahead, doctor. I'm sorry.
No, keep going. Keep going.
Oh, and I was just going to say, it's even gotten to the point with me. Like I had a major health event where now I'm really going out into the world and trying to give back. I did a presentation, and I actually used one of your quotes in my speech, and I think I tweeted you on that. The information you provide is just so invaluable to people who love to go out and work out. So I just wanted to share that with you.
You made my day, Joe from Castaic. Thank you. And the cool thing is we've never met in person, but I feel like you're a part of me, like all the Weekend Warriors. So God bless you. Thank you. And let's see. Maybe it won't be. I'm fighting the good fight. But if it is, it's really been a hell of a run for 8.5 years, and thanks so much for checking in. Appreciate it. All right, let's take another one. Let's go to Renato in Hollywood. You're on with Dr. Clapper.
Dr. Clapper, good morning.
Good morning.
Say it isn't so, Dr. Clapper. I need to tell you, man, you're one of the greatest men. I love you, and I don't even know you. I want to wish you well. You're such a wonderful person. I mean,
thank you.
I'm even being touched right now in my heart. You don't understand. It's like, I listen to you as much as I can because I'm constantly working. But, yeah. Oh, my God. It's just to hear your voice, your stories, you know, the life with your mother and father. It's just, it's been amazing. And I wish it wouldn't end, you know, but I want to wish you well. You know, God bless you and your family.
Thank you very much, Renato. Listen, I get up early in the morning after 12 hours in the operating room yesterday to know that I'm going to be talking to you, Renato, one-on-one. It's just a beautiful thing, and that's what gets me going for 8.5 years. And the fact that you feel it means I must be doing it right. So,
doctor, you don't know. I'm telling you, right to the core of my heart.
Well, thank you.
Like I said, hopefully it doesn't end, but if it does, safe trails. You know, and like I said, man, you're just a wonderful, beautiful person, man.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to remind my wife of that as soon as I get home. Thank you, Renato.
Definitely. All right, you take care.
All right, God bless you.
God bless.
Appreciate it. All right, we'll take one more. All right, let's go to Tom in Redondo. You're on with Dr. Clapper.
Dr. Robbie Clapper, I tell you, I got a little different angle than the other two callers.
Here it is. Are you ready? I mean, I'm a South Bay guy like you. I always said if I ever see Dr. Robbie, I'm going to go up and talk to him about Waikiki Beach. I'm going to go up and talk to him about the stories I have with Fred Dreyer when I was a little kid at Blair Field in Long Beach at Rams practice. I mean, it seems like every story you had, first of all, you're a child. And I'm a big kid, too. We're almost the same age. I'm 59.
Uh-huh.
And I've never called into your show because I just love your passion. It's
Thank
not
you.
About the medicine for me. I just love the stories.
Thank
and you get me fired up. I mean, I'm a big kid just like you are. I feel like I know you because, you know, I was at Schofield Barracks in Waikiki Beach. I was in the Army for 3 years.
Wow.
And I used to watch those surfers. I wasn't a surfer myself, but I relate to all your stories because I was watching those people build the sandcastles.
Wow.
I watched all the people you talk about give surfing instructions because I was watching the gorgeous girls when I was 19 years old in the military in Waikiki Beach. I mean, I love it. Every story I can relate to in a different way, even though I'm not a surfer, even though I've never been injured, thank you, God, never had a knee injury. I'm 59. I feel like I'm 39.
Good.
And
my job's to keep you healthy, Tom, from Redondo Beach, and I will do that to the best of my ability.
Yeah, and just the stories with Fred is such a renaissance man.
Did you hear the Andy Warhol story with Fred Dreyer?
That was unbelievable. I love that.
If your friend Andy comes to Tulsa, he's going to get his ass kicked.
I love that story with Danny. That was incredible. But I love the food, you know, just all the stories. You're so childlike. You talk the way you talk about your parents, your daughter, you know, your food. I've actually, you know, I live in the South Bay.
Go to Manhattan Beach Meats and go say hi to Dean Tribble.
I'm going to do that.
All
and
right.
I've written down all the pizza recommendations, everything. You're the best.
Well, thank you, Tom. I appreciate it. I hope our paths cross. I'll probably be sculpting. I just hope it's not the last show. We'll see. I'm fighting a good fight. But if it is, you're a big reason why I do the show, and I've never met you. Isn't that special? That's amazing. So God bless you, and thanks for making time to call in. All right, Warriors, we're going to take a break. We got the last segment coming up. I'll keep taking the calls. It's just great to feel the love and hear the love. The number is 877-710-ESPN. Want me to be. Tell me what you want me to be, Steve Paulette. One guess. You're the
I
only
am one.
One
of those women that only listens to this station when the Dr. Clapper is on. I love everything about it. I love the music, the food, the medical advice, everything about it. It's the first thing I listen to Saturday.
Judy, you go, girl. Speaking of another girl, let's go to Rosemary in Malibu. You're on with Dr. Clapper.
Hi. I think it's absolutely insane that you might be taken off the air.
Mm-hmm.
And wow. I'm a psychotherapist, a mom of five, a grandmother of eight.
Wow.
78 years old and going strong. And you are inspiring.
Oh.
You're intelligent. And that kind of interaction between all the elements of life that you bring to the station make it a more intelligent station.
Thank you. Wow.
And all that we are about as human beings.
Thank you, Rosemary. That really...
I love the show.
Well, thank you.
I just really appreciate you weaving who we are as human beings into what you show. So,
well, you got to walk the walk, not just talk the talk. And,
you know,
I appreciate all that you do for the world, having five kids and eight grandkids and helping people.
Yeah.
In the end, that's the secret sauce in life. What you get back when you give, you can't even put it into words, and it's priceless.
I spend a lot of time on public radio and public television, but ESPN, there's certain parts of it that are inspiring, and you're it. And the last lady that said she thinks she's the only woman out there, I know women aren't a big part of what you do, but we're out here listening and knowing it's important.
Well, I've always felt, Gene Crawford told me, every female listener, trust me, Doc, he used to say, they ain't listening Monday through Friday. They're listening to you on Saturday.
Yeah, I started running back in the 60s when the Canadian Air Force exercises pamphlet came out. I don't know, you're probably too young to remember that, but that's when the running craze started. And
wow.
I couldn't go a quarter mile around the track. My husband made it a mile, and we looked at each other and said, we got to get in shape. Because he was a football player, and I was making babies. But it's been exercise ever since. And
good for you. You're ahead of your time, Rosemary. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for the very kind words. I really appreciate it.
Yeah.
All right, Warriors. I don't even know what to say coming up next. That's usually what I would be doing now. Except at how inspiring the song that you hear each and every Saturday of Volare, which means I'm singing and flying. Coming up next is going to be Alan Sliwa for Lakers Talk, right after the Weekend Warriors Show at 9. And it's brought to you by Toyota of Santa Monica. I don't know, if I were to do the show, well, you know what, I don't want to interrupt. I'm going to keep listening to people. Let's go to Babraham in Riverside. Get in the pool. Love it. Babraham. Remember that scene from Wayne's World? If you were president of the United States, you'd be Babraham Lincoln. I'm sure that's where it comes from. Are you there, Babraham?
I sure am. Abraham is my man. And I got to tell you, I'm crying right now. I'm really crying. I'm sorry.
Don't cry.
One morning and said, you got to listen to this guy. And I said, I'm not listening to sports medicine first thing in the morning. And I've been addicted ever since.
Thank you.
You're just such a renaissance man and such an inspiration.
Thank you. Thank you.
But I think if anybody can get him to hear what I want you to say, and I'm going to tell you what I want you to say. I have an agenda. When I met him, he at 50, he was in a very serious car accident that he should never have walked away from alive. He's had foot surgery, hernia surgery, shoulder surgery, and the only thing left now is his knee. And he had lost 90 pounds. He's putting weight back on. I want you to drag him into the pool and make him work out. He won't listen to me, but I think he would listen to you.
Well, if I have superpowers, then I'm happy to talk, and that's what I'm good at. And thanks so much for the kind words, Babraham. I appreciate it, and God bless you. There's Volare. I hope it's not for the last time, but if it is, what a run it's been. God bless you all, and I hope to see you in the ocean.